Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you on this Labor Day weekend. Today we're going to look at the second lesson in stewardship, which is to be free from materialism. Last week we learned that we must be rich towards God, and we were warned against coveting, that is, wanting things. Today we're going to look at the opposite end of the spectrum. Last week was about having much. This week is actually about having little. Last week we touched on the dangers of materialism. This week we're going to learn how to be free from it. We also learned that stewardship is really an issue of the heart. It's about one's desires, your plans. Stewardship is about what motivates you, the way that we use our money and our possession and our time actually reveals our heart, the nature of our hearts, and what's at the core of what drives us. It reveals our priorities. Stewardship is a matter of the heart. Take your Bibles as we continue to build upon this idea and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, we'll read verses 22 through 34. The Bible says that Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? If then you are not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor to be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful for your provision for us. Lord, and how you prove faithful time and time and time again. And Father God, today I pray as we study your word, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would have his way with each of us. Lord, in our own heart, you would show us, dear Lord, these issues of stewardship. Show us, Father God, a change the very core of who we are and why we work and why we do what we do. Lord, let it not be about us, but about you. Father God, today, make us faithful stewards. Lord, and let us be always grateful for your great provision. Whether we have a lot or whether we have little, you have been faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Jesus is turning his attention to his particular disciples. He's been teaching the crowds, the multitudes. They're still there, but he's talking now to a particular group. That is those who are closer to him, those who have been expressing some form of commitment or willingness to follow him. And what he does is he penetrates down through every argument that someone may have concerning material possessions and stuff. He goes to the core or the basic needs of humanity. You see, when we talk about things that we need, we can actually justify nearly anything as a need, can't we not? We can justify nearly anything. Oh, this is easy to see with our kids, you know. Hey, I need an Xbox. And you're like, well, you don't need it, you want it. Or I need a new bike. Well, you don't need it, you want it. Or I need this or I need that. And it's easy for parents to say, well, you don't need it. You really just want it, right? We've all said that, or it's been said to us. But as adults, it's kind of true too. We're just better at justifying the need. We say, well, I need a house. You got to have a house to live in, right? And, well, you got to have a car because you got to get back and forth to work. Or you might say, well, I need a computer. I do need a computer because, you know, it helps you work today, and you can check your emails and get ahead. You need a computer. You may even say, well, I need a TV so I can stay current on the world's events and know what's going on, and maybe those sorts of things. I need to watch the news, or I need to relax from time to time, and having a TV allows me to do that, so we can justify that. The point is that we can actually justify everything as a need, can we not? I need it. But Jesus, He deals here with our most basic of needs, which are actually, if there's anything ever in need, it's got to be food and clothing, right? There's probably one thing that's a greater need than food and clothing physically, and that's oxygen. So He could have gone to oxygen, but He didn't. But if you don't have oxygen, you're going to die in probably a couple minutes. But He deals with food and clothing. He's cutting down. He's going to the core of the basic needs, the things that He's saying, if this is true about food and clothing, then it's got to be true of everything else in one's life. If what He is saying is true about our food and clothing, the basics, the basic necessities, then it's got to be true of absolutely everything else. So he leaves us really no wiggle room. A good steward will use his or her time seeking God's kingdom rather than worrying about things such as food and clothing. That's kind of the overarching idea here behind these verses and what Jesus is teaching us. In verses 22 through 23, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing." Do not be anxious. Don't be anxious about your life. Don't be anxious about food and clothing. Don't worry. Forget worrying about a car and utilities and a computer and a house and things like that, retirement and the sort. Jesus says, don't even worry about your food and clothing. Well, I have to admit to you, from time to time, I'm worried about my clothing. Not what you're thinking. I mean, a lot of people are like, well, you need to dress this way or that way. And that doesn't enter my mind. But I'm just worried about it fitting. You just don't worry about that. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't be anxious about your life, about food, about clothing. And He gives an example. He says, life is more than food. Well, food's the basics. I mean, if you don't have food, you're in trouble. But He says, life is more than food. And He gives this example of the ravens. Consider the ravens, He says in verse 24. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse or barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? If you then are not able to do a small thing, or not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? The birds don't really work. And ravens are like a large crow that eats dead things. So in reality, they do kind of clean up dead bodies of animals laying around. It's kind of gross, but they serve a function. But in God's system, they serve a function. But they're not working. They're not worried. They're not storing up for themselves. They're not worried about retirement or anything like that. They don't have barns, and yet God feeds them. He takes care of them. And Jesus says, are you not more valuable than they? Are you not more valuable than the birds? A few weeks ago we saw that you are even more valuable than a few sparrows. Sparrows that are worthless to human beings. That you can get five of them for just a few pennies. That they're absolutely zero value. Nearly zero value. And God says He knows even when one of those falls, how much more valuable to Him are you? And the answer is infinitely, infinitely more valuable than the birds. They don't work, they don't save, and yet God feeds them. And then He says, you cannot add any time to your life by worry. Do you know that? As a matter of fact, doctors say that it takes from your life. That when you're worried and anxious and you're always stressed out, it raises your blood pressure, it restricts your blood flow. I mean, it kills you. Worry is a killer. As a matter of fact, and even if it wasn't, you cannot add, Jesus, you can't do such a small thing as add any time to your life. You can't even do that. Isn't it interesting how Jesus sees that adding a bit of time to your life is a small thing? For Him, it's such a small thing. But He says, we can't do that. For Him, it's just a tiny thing to make one's life longer, to make it shorter. But for us, it's more than that. We can't do that. We can't do that. I mean, we worry about these things. Elizabeth Cheney, a 15th century English aristocrat, wrote a poem. It's entitled Overheard in an Orchard, and it reads, it's a conversation between a robin and a sparrow. It reads, I would like to know, or it says, said the robin to the sparrow, I would like to know why those anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Then said the robin, or said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. It strikes at the heart of what we're talking about. That God takes care of the birds, and yet and we act like He's not going to take care of us. We worry about things. We get so upset, even about our basic needs. We're not, just basic things that we get so consumed in and worried about. I'm reminded here of the Psalm of David in the 23rd Psalm. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We shall not want. This is a psalm that brings us great comfort when we listen to it at funerals and when we're going through very difficult times. But listen to it in this context. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means He takes care of me. I don't have a want for anything. Verse 2, He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus says, don't worry about these things. God will take care of you. If He takes care of the birds, He's going to take care of you. So first, life is more than food. And second, the second reason that Jesus gives for not to worry is because the body is more than clothing. Look at verse 23. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Your body is much more than the clothes that you wear. Your worth has nothing to do with the clothes that you wear. Whether you're dressed in rich apparel or you're dressed in hand-me-down or given to you by someone else apparel, it doesn't matter. Your value to God is not determined by the image your clothes portray, but rather by whose image in which you have been made. And we need to understand that, because I tell you that every single one of us would give more preference to a person who's dressed well than we would to someone who's not, would we not? But that is that what determines one's value? Is that what determines one's value? No. It is not what someone wears. Life is more than that. As a matter of fact, when Jesus created us, what kind of clothes did He put on us? None. He created you naked. That's the way He... You didn't need clothes. You didn't need provision. You didn't need that. But when sin entered the world, then man perverted what God made. And God gave man clothes as a covering, as a picture of what? Of His ultimate provision. The ultimate provision of Christ's righteousness to cover man's sin. It's not one's clothes. It's not how well he or she is dressed that determines their worth. Your value is not in the clothes you wear, but in who you represent. And Jesus gives another example. The first example was of the ravens. Now there is an example of the lilies. Consider the lilies and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow it is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? Lilies. What value are they really? Of course, in God's system of nature, they provide a function. But the greatest function is to glorify God. They declare His glory, the Bible says. You can see His glory in nature. They don't toil, they don't spin, they don't work, they're not worried about retirement, they're not worried about any of these things. But Solomon, the richest person on earth who prayed to receive God's wisdom and God gave it to him, he had everything that money could ever buy, and God Himself says that Solomon was not even dressed, adorned, arrayed like one of these lilies. We call lilies many times weeds, dandelions. Do not blow on a dandelion when it's in your yard, or you'll have lots of pretty flowers. God dresses them. The worthless grass. If God dresses the worthless grass, then how much more will He not clothe you? Will He not? Doesn't He? And then He says, O you of little faith, for Jesus, stewardship is a faith issue. Stewardship is much more than just being faithful with one's possessions, with what you own. It is being faithful with your life. With your life. In Luke 9, 23 through 25, Jesus says to everyone, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? See, Jesus wants you to trust in Him rather than worrying about everything else in this world. That's what He's saying. Jesus is saying here, don't worry about all of this. Does worry help? Who's ever worried? Raise their hand. If your hand's not raised, you're lying. If you've lied, raise your hand. That's everyone else. Does worry help? Does it add any value to the equation? Does it produce the outcome that you desired? It does not do anything at all. The late evangelist Vance Havner once said, worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. And that's true. I know people that they're consumed with worry. Anytime you talk to them, and it's not just their own things, they're worried about everyone else's things too. Well, what are we going to do? Well, have you heard? I can't believe. Oh my goodness. What's going to happen? And they're consumed with it, and it takes over their entire life. Stewardship is a faith issue. It reveals your faith. Either we have faith in God or we don't. This is true in our lives. This is true in your workplace. Either going to have faith in God or you're not. You're going to be worried about everything. It's true in your home. Either going to have faith in God or you're not. It's true in the church. Either we're going to have faith or we're not. We're either going to worry about everything or we're going to trust God. You know, a lot of churches could accomplish a lot more if they would trust God and stop trusting in themselves. Stop trusting in what they can do and believe God for a miracle. Believe God for a mountaintop. Believe God for deliverance from a valley. Believe God. But yet, we want to worry rather than put our faith and trust in God. Worry demonstrates a lack of faith. George Mueller said, "The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety." It's faith or anxiety, or it's anxiety or faith. Corey Ten Boom said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything." No, don't be anxious about anything. But God, you don't know. This is really important. He says, don't be anxious about it. "But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Because worry, being anxious about it, doesn't help. If you want to do something about it, put some legs on it. Take it to God, he says. Take it to Him and be thankful for what's going on. I heard of a story of a missionary. He's going to be in the area here in a few weeks from South Africa. And before he was a missionary, he was dealt a horrible blow. And many things throughout his life have affected him. And they say that his motto is this. He says, "There are no challenges, there's just opportunities. There are no problems, there's just opportunities." So if you get hurt and you're laid up in the hospital, well, it's an opportunity to read the Bible because you've been a little too busy to do it. Something puts you in a different place than you thought you would be, it's an opportunity to share your witness. There's opportunities, no problems, but opportunities. Well, what happens then if we take that into our own lives? There's no problems at work, there's just opportunities. There's no problems at home, there's just opportunities. It may be an opportunity to show how Christ would respond to a situation. It may be an opportunity to show how Christians should respond to a situation. It may be an opportunity to demonstrate how to repent to someone if you've blown it. But there's opportunities. And we have to ask here, if life is more than food and clothing, then what is it? What is life? If it's more than food and clothing. And that's the fundamental question here. That's what we're talking about. If life is more than food and clothing, which is the basic necessities, if you strip us down to nothing, we still need food and clothing. What else is there? Jesus Christ. It's Him. You see what He's saying? He is your food and clothing. He is the Messiah. It's about eating Him. It's about drinking His blood. Remember that? Remember that teaching? He's not talking about bread and clothing. He's talking about Himself. Remember, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In John 6:35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Didn't He tell the masses that they must eat His flesh and drink His blood, that signifying that He is the provision for them? He is our clothing. He is our food. What's greater than food and clothing is Jesus Christ. If you could have Jesus and starve to death in 30 days, wouldn't it be worth it? Would it be worth it? If you knew you're going to starve to death in 30 days, but you could be saved and accept Jesus and live for Him even for those 30 days, would it be worth it, Christians? You must answer yes to that. But He doesn't leave you alone. I've been a Christian, I don't know, for 37 years. I'm still fat. I haven't missed a meal. He is our provision. Every time we put something in our mouth, every time we clothe ourselves, we are reminded that Jesus is our provision. He is our food. He is our daily bread. It is Him. He is the one who takes care of us. Does it say that when you accept Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay for your sin? Lying, stealing, cheating, false gods, idolatry, self-worship, hating people, all the light. Sin. Every single person's guilty, the Bible says. And Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay for that. The Bible says, if you believe that, believe that He died for your sins and rose again, this sacrifice was accepted. God said, it was accepted. He rose. Jesus rose from the grave. If you believe that, then what happens is Jesus takes your sin-stained garment, your sin-stained life, and He gives you a white, righteous garment of Himself, His righteousness, His holiness, His glory. That's what this is about. Jesus saying, I'm your clothing, I'm your food, I'm your provision, I'm the Messiah. That's what He's teaching them. It's me. You can trust me. And if I provide for you salvation, then how much more am I going to provide for you? Am I not going to take care of you? The answer is yes. When you're saved, you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You may say, well then, what am I supposed to do? Well, He tells us in verse 29, do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. And He tells two reasons why we should not be consumed with seeking food and being worried. Two reasons why we shouldn't do that. And the first is because that's what everyone else does. That's what the lost people does. That's what the world does. People without hope in Christ. People without faith in Christ. People without a heavenly kingdom to go to. He says that's what they do. And when we're worried about everything else that they're worried about, then what we're saying is that we're not being a witness. We're not showing the world that our God is the provider. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. When we do that, we're just like everyone. We're no different than everyone else. The world finds its significance in satisfying the cravings of the stomach and the cravings of the lusts of the flesh. They worry about their basic needs and then everything else. And it robs, and when we do that, it robs us of our witness because we're just like them. We pursue the same things they pursue. But rather, we trust in God to provide while we serve Him. That's what separates us from the world. The second reason is because God, your Father, knows what you need. God, your Father, knows what you need. He knows you need food and clothing, just like He knows you needed provision from your sin, provision from His wrath. He knows what you need, and He provides it freely. And if He's not going to withhold His Son, then why would He withhold food? Why would He withhold what you need? And so God gives you exactly what you need to accomplish His purpose and His plan for your life at that particular time. If you lack, you don't lack. If you have a lot, you don't have a lot. Use it for God's glory, whether it's much or whether it's little. God knows you need them. God who has given you life. He has appointed the time of your death. He knows what you need. And you by worry, you by your work, you by all the labor and toil that you put in cannot add even a single span to your life. So use what God has given you to serve Him rather than yourself. And Jesus says in verse 31, rather than seeking provision, seek the kingdom of God, and God will take care of your provision. It says in verse 31 through 34, instead, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Does this mean that we're not to work? Does this mean that we are to just go home, that we don't earn money? No. Does it mean that we're not to have anything? No. Colossians 3, Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says, whatever you do, whether you're working, whether you're retired, anything in between, it doesn't matter. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. It doesn't mean that you stop doing everything that you're doing. It means that everything you're doing now has a new purpose. It is for the glory of God. If you're working, you work, and you work for the glory of God. If you're retired, that's fine. Be retired, but do it for the glory of God. If you stay at home, then do it for the glory of God. If you go about, do it for the glory of God. Just everything's changed. When you get saved, there's a transition in your life purpose and your plan. No longer is it you, about you and your kingdom. It's now about Him and His kingdom. We are showing people glimpses of His kingdom. When they meet you, they're meeting the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. You are a witness for Him. No longer do you advocate for yourself. Now you advocate for Him. It means that there's a transition in our hearts, our motivation, and our consciousness. A kingdom focus prevents excessive anxiety about one's earthly possessions. When you have a kingdom focus, it prevents this anxiety about what you have or what you don't have. You start to realize that your treasure is in heaven. 1 John 2:15 and 17 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God because God wants to give it to you. It's His desire to give you the kingdom. Live for Him. Rather than seeking more stuff, sell what you do not need and use it to help the poor. Use it to glorify God. I'm not telling you to sell everything unless God's called you to it. But what if God tomorrow called you to be a missionary in India? Could you go? What if God called you tomorrow and said, go somewhere for me? There's a people over there that need to hear about me. There's a minister over there that needs your help. Can you go? You say, no, Lord, I can't go. Well, why? Well, because I have stuff here I need to take care of. Well, I got to feed the cat. Well, you know, I got to mow. I might be able to stretch it 2 weeks, but it's been raining a lot. I got to pay the bills. And God's saying, get rid of the extra. This is the crazy thing about it is, I don't understand how it is, but we always end up with extra stuff. There's always more stuff. We get rid of stuff, and then more stuff comes. God provides. I'm telling you, I haven't missed a meal. He provides. We get rid of clothes and we got more clothes. I don't understand. I always need bigger clothes. But anyway, it happens. I'm covered. He's saying, sell what you don't need. Get rid of it. Use it for His glory. Use it for His kingdom. Use it to help the poor. Don't hoard it up and put it in barns and put it in bigger houses and put it in all that stuff, because you're going to die and you're going to leave it behind. Everything that you spent your entire life for, working for, is going to come to nothing. The only thing that's going to matter is, did you know Jesus and did you serve Him? Did you know Him first and did you live for Him? That's all that matters. Not how well we're dressed. The good that you do will be a real treasure in heaven. And Jesus says in verse 34, He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So today, Where is your heart? Where is your heart? Is your heart here in this place, in this earth? Or is your heart in heaven? And I'm not asking for the Sunday school answer. I'm not asking for the Sunday morning when we came to church and checked our box answer. I'm asking for the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday answer. And I ain't asking for it because I'm guilty too. God's asking for it. He's saying, where's your heart? Who owns your heart? Where's your treasure? Is it coveting the riches of the world? Is it spending your life working for the riches of the world? Or maybe your heart's worried about the basic provisions. Maybe you're worried about just basic stuff. Jesus says, seek Him and He will take care of you. Seek Him. Maybe today, one of you are here. You've never received your provision from Christ. And I'm talking about the provision for forgiveness of sins. Maybe there's someone here today, and you've never given your life to Christ. You've never trusted in the forgiveness that He offers. You've never said, Jesus, I believe You died for me, and I know I need Your forgiveness. I accept it. Jesus says, I want to be Your provision. And He gives you that. That's the first and foremost. So if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, then I pray that you do not leave here today without praying to Him, without accepting Him, without bowing your heart to Him and saying, I need You. You're my God. That I've been pursuing the world and everything in the world, and I know that my pursuits are sinful. They lead me to ruin. And Jesus, I need You. Save my life. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. You would call out to God this morning like that, He would save you. And you can leave here with a garment of white, with a garment of righteousness. Jesus will lift that burden of sin right off of you and give you His righteousness. Maybe there's others of us here who maybe it's a lot more practical than that. Maybe God needs to change our priorities. Say, I don't know how I got here. I know that I used to see everything I did as glorifying God. I used to not be worried about these things, but somehow I kind of got distracted by the world again. Well, listen, Satan's good at that. Every single day is a new challenge. Every single day he puts another temptation in front of us. That's what he does. That's what's wrong with the world. And every single day we need to be on our guard. Remember, this is a warning. He's warning people. Seek your provision in Him. Maybe you've been worried about all of the things that the world has to offer rather than realizing that Jesus Christ is the provider. Maybe you've been storing things up and God says you need to lighten your load so that you can be more flexible to serve in Him. Maybe you need to sell some stuff and give it to the poor. Maybe you need to sell some stuff and go on a mission trip. Maybe you need to sell some stuff and help somebody else go on a mission trip. Maybe you need to sell some stuff and send somebody on the other side of the world a gift. Some person that is surrounded by people that they don't know, but they've gone across the other side of the world in order to serve God, and you could be an encouragement to them. We got a whole list of people that we could tell you. Do something nice for them. I'm talking about missionaries. They get happy when they get a jar of Hellman mayonnaise in the mail because they don't have it. Or some ketchup that's real ketchup. Heinz. Just saying. Maybe today you just need to dedicate your labor. Your day, your life, tomorrow, dedicate your labor to Christ. To say, Lord, I'm no longer working for my provision because I realize You've given me all the provision I need. But now I'm working for You. And whether You have me at Humana or IBM or Ford or You have me at McDonald's or Walmart or anywhere in between, Lord, I'm serving You. Lord, You may have me in retirement, but I'm going to serve You with every second of every day. It's Yours. I'm going to serve You because You have made provision for me. Maybe that's your decision today. Some of you, it may be uniting with this church. You say, I want to be a member of a church. I want to be under God's covering of His people. I want to be a part of what God's doing here at Ballardsville. You can come and we'll share with you how to become a member. Maybe today you just dedicate yourself to Christ. If you need to make a decision, if God's speaking to your heart, don't leave here today saying no to Him. Leave saying yes. Saying yes. I'm going to pray. When I pray, if you need to make a decision, if you need to come forward, if you want to talk, if you want to pray, whatever you need to do, use this time as we sing to do that. Let's all bow our heads and